This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 455, recorded February 17th, 2016. I am Brian Kilby. I took a nap before the show, so hopefully I won't fall asleep. Hey, just being honest. With me this week, I have Chris, a.k.a. XV, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Diecast, a.k.a. Diecast, Don, Rob Clay, and John DeLuna. John is probably playing Street Fighter V right now.
I wish I was. I'm doing
the
like
10%
work.
Of the game that he owns.
Yeah. So feels bad, man.
But that's another podcast.
Yeah, we may possibly try to do a live stream of Street Fighter V after the show. We used to do this occasionally back in the day, but I don't know if this is going to work because I can't like get net play to work half the time. So
I was going to say like trying to play Street Fighter V is a good description of what millions of people have been trying to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Last day.
This is true. Very true.
Strong product launch there, guys.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let me ask you, is it playable even if you don't have a 6-button fighter stick?
What the hell kind of question is that, Don?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, I can say that just because I played enough Street Fighters. Yeah, you can play it without a stick.
You can play it with a mouse and keyboard if you want to.
Why would you want to, though?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, last year, the year before, the I think it was this year, maybe the year before. Anyway, the
wait, how do you play a fighting game
champion
with a
Street
mouse?
Fighter played on a pad
or the keyboard? What, John?
I was gonna say it was one of the last two world champions of Street Fighter was a pad player.
That's so right. Weird. Yeah,
I remember you linked to a stream a long time ago with somebody racking up like a 50 win streak on Street Fighter 3, and he was playing with a pad, and he was absolutely incredible.
I can play fighting games with either.
He was playing on. He was playing on a 360 pad, I should clarify. And if you've ever used the basic D-pad on that thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can play fighting games on either or. I tend to prefer Soul Calibur, kind of, I think, with a pad. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, really high-level play. Whenever I've been, like, really good at something, it's almost always been with a stick, though.
But, I mean, if you were going to be really serious about something, Mortal obviously Kombat you'd is go effectively with a Power Glove, that. Right?
What XV?
If you're really serious about it, though, you'd like go with a Power Glove, right?
Yeah, it's so rad.
It's so rad.
Okay, so let's see here. Toy Fair was this past weekend. Diecast did a phenomenal job.
Yes.
They're taking all sorts of photos, answering questions, and basically busting his butt doing all the hard work. Thank you, Diecast. You're the man.
No problem. It was a lot. I kept going, I wonder if my phone's going to run out of space.
Yeah, no, like I totally expected that it would. So what kind of swag did you wind up with? You got that Mezco Spock that looks really awesome.
Yeah, I got the Mezco Spock. I ended up with two of the newest Combiner Wars waves, Smokescreen and Wheeljack, which, you know, is good. There was only one per bag, but I traded my Marvel Legends for another Combiner Wars figure because it was a Marvel Legends figure that I had no interest in.
Okay.
And got a couple Lego things. There was a...
That Mr. Freeze set. I didn't realize that was swag.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That Mr. Freeze is supposedly not in retail stores, so...
Yet, or it won't be.
I don't know, but apparently that's like a big ticket item.
Dude, that's awesome.
I don't know. What else did I get? I got a Barbie. I got a Fisher-Price wooden barista set.
What?
What an interesting
what
sentence.
What does that mean?
I got lots of alcoholic beverages from Matt Collector.
You got the Rock'em Sock'em Robots from Batman versus Superman.
Yes, that's true. I did get those. Yeah, that's about it. It wasn't like anything crazy. I did order, while I was there, I ordered that Matty Collector Thundercats set because it looks good.
When
that's why they plied you with alcohol first, diecast.
Yeah. Now take out your phones and click subscribe.
So how much did that cost?
I think it's only four figures plus the bonus figure, which
a four figure set? Wow, that's expensive.
Yeah, but it's $25 a figure plus shipping plus the membership, but you get the free figure, so it's like basically it's $125.
Okay, plus all shipping. That's not so bad. Because that's basically what I paid to pre-order two of those Figure Arts Ninja Turtle figures.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The aftermarket price for those like to pre-order just certain figures from the Matty Collector Thundercat line, they're going for like $40 to $50 per figure just for the individual figures.
Can you still subscribe to that? Is it too late?
No, you can still subscribe.
Then why would you pre-order it from like a retailer? That's crazy.
Well, that was.
Maybe if they only want one figure.
Yeah, it's because the rest of the line I've already got in other formats, and I just really didn't want all those figures all over again.
So I've got like 55 Lionos at this point, and the one the last two that I got look better than that one. I don't have a nice Panthro though. That Panthro is pretty sweet.
Yeah. I from the first wave, I really just wanted Pumaira. That's the only one I really wanted because we didn't get her in the last line.
Good too.
No idea who that is.
She was towards the end of the series with Lingso and Bengali.
Was she like Poochie? Was she there to like revitalize the show? Did she do radical things? I guess not.
I do not know what you're talking about.
Was she Urkel? Was she like Urkel? Okay. So did anybody besides Diecast, who got all this awesome swag, did anybody else pick up anything this past weekend or past week since the last show? No? Okay, so I did. I got the stuff that you guys got last week. I got my masterpiece Ironhide, and he is pretty flippin' awesome, which surprises me. Really surprises me, because I didn't expect that I would like him that much, but he's pretty great. I got the third-party Bad Cube Sun Surge, and I think I like it better than Diecast does. I hated transforming it. Oh my god, I hated transforming it. Not that it was that hard. It was just kind of like, I don't know. I guess
endless.
If somebody held a grenade in their hand out at arm's length and their hand exploded, that's what he would look like as he was transforming.
Well, I was watching a couple of reviews on, because I'm debating on that figure myself. It looks like he's got a lot of good locking tabs. So once you get past the exploded diagram state of the figure.
It
tabs together solidly.
Once it tabs together, you're exactly right, Don. It tabs together really well.
Yeah, I remember watching Diecast's video of that. I think he had the first one out. And yeah, that transformation looks so overwrought and just like not fun to do for how much you have to do to go between modes.
I thought I was going to have to just give up. Honestly, and I've given up and start, like with I do not like panel formers, so like Cupola I like just stopped as I was trying to transform it and just transformed it back, and I thought I was gonna have to do that with Sun Surge, but no, I figured it out and he is super solid.
Have you ever transformed Cupola at this point?
No, he's been a robot his entire life and it's fine. That's how I want to pose it anyway.
Oh man.
Well, yeah. Hey, with Diecast, are you getting Iron Wheel in anytime soon to review? Because I watched a review of him, but I was wondering if you were getting a copy in as well.
Which one's that? I'm sorry.
Hardhead.
It's Hardhead. Yeah, it's the companion.
One that hit that I can't.
Yeah,
He's really buying a house. He's buying a house.
Well, you know, I did watch a review. It looks like with Hardhead, it's a step down from Cupola as far as the complexity. But there's still enough in there that it's not just a photocopy of the G1 on a masterpiece scale. There's a couple of really nice. It's kind of like what you if that was in the Function X line, I could see that kind of engineering in the Function X line with the twist and the unique little things they do.
Let's see here. I also picked up. I got my Skyrene, and I really love Skylynx. He is Skylynx, and that makes him phenomenal. But I transformed and combined them all into Skyreen, and I like it, so I think I'm going to keep it. I'll probably pick up a second Skylynx to keep him in Skylynx mode because, well, it's Skylynx. But I do have to say, and I did mention this on the live stream this past weekend, as I was taking Hound out of the Big Bad Toy Store shipping box, I looked at him in package, and then, honest to God, I felt compelled to just shove him back in the box. I do not like Hound. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the color. He just doesn't work for me. But I really like Trailbreaker. I think Trailbreaker actually came out really nice. Wheeljack is kind of bad.
Kinda?
Yeah, Wheeljack is bad.
Wheeljack is on his knees begging for paint.
Yeah, very true. And Smokescreen is really nice, too. But again, with Smokescreen, I look at it and like, I got the Masterpiece version. I don't need this. But for whatever reason, though, that doesn't click with Wheeljack because I think I've got the Reveal the Shield version and I don't need this.
That's why the wave showed up close to...
That was Ironhide falling.
Yeah. He's fallen and he can't get up.
He is kind of old.
Yeah. But, you know, I saw that wave at my local Walmart and I'm like, I have a better Hound. I have a better Wheeljack. I have a better Smokescreen. I have a better Trailbreaker. There's nothing about this wave that makes me want this wave.
It merges into Skyreen. That's what makes you want this wave.
Anything that you put on that torso becomes Skyreen, and Skyreen's the most important part of Skyreen.
Yeah.
And so I figured, and since Skylynx isn't that important to me as a character, I'd rather get the Lyokaiser version when that set comes out.
Yeah, my Skylynx is just Skylynx. My Autobot. Unnecessary Autobot limbs went to my Cyclonus.
I already had a set of unnecessary Autobot limbs, which, you know, was part of Optimus Maximus or whatever the heck he's called. This is just the unnecessary set, too. But the thing is, unlike everybody else who has a Skyreen with bum hips, mine are perfect.
It makes me worry about the Bruticus wave, because if this wave is already hitting stores, I don't think many people even saw the Bruticus wave in store.
I saw the three that I picked up at Kmart for $4 a piece, and then I saw the regular set at the Walmart in town as well, and that's the only time I've seen it anywhere between here and Greensboro.
I saw one Brawl and one Vortex one time.
I saw the set at two different Walmarts.
But the good news is, even if some people don't get the chance to see the Bruticus wave at retail, there will be the G2 set later this year that they can order from, you know, various retailers.
This is true.
And or the Unite Warriors, which is really awesome looking.
But this is true, but this is a good chance for me to mention this. We're going to have a contest. I ordered, not knowing, obviously, whether or not the Onslaught that was going to be in the same assortment as Skylynx was the version 1 or version 2. It ended up being the same version that I already had. So if you want to win an Onslaught, it can be yours. Just leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast purveyor of choice and somehow get back to me to let me know that you actually did the review. So, like, tweet at me.
Take a screenshot of it.
With a screenshot or copy and paste the text. Send it to contact@tfradio.net or @tfradio. And by the... Let's see here. We will make the announcement on who wins that on the episode of RFC on March 2nd. So you have until March 2nd to do that. We'll make the announcement. And I'm going to open that up to basically anybody in the world. So if it's like to Antarctica and it cost me $50 to ship it, I'll ship it out. So just leave a review on iTunes or if there's another podcast service that you use, leave a review and just let me know that you did it. Show me screenshot, copy and paste, just something. And I'll select the winner from the reviews. I'll try to do it randomly, but I can't guarantee that it'll be random. So if they're really flattering or nice review, it might get it might be a little biased. I don't know yet, but mostly random. So
maybe I should judge the contest.
Yeah. XV will judge the contest, but yeah. So, okay. So let's go ahead and jump to the news, of course. This Week in History. I forgot about that. So happy birthday to Gary Chalk and Michael Bay.
Mostly Gary Chalk.
My favorite Russian military commander monkey.
Set an explosion on a birthday cake. That's a good way to commemorate Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing it at sunset, though.
It has to be in slow motion, and you need a Lamborghini or two riding alongside the cake as it explodes.
With a girl leaning over them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, if she flies off and, like, crashes, she will come off completely uninjured. Mm-hmm. Not a scrape on her. Yeah, Michael Bay.
But
we love Gary Chalk.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to ride the shuttle bus back to the airport with him from one of the BotCons.
But would Gary describe that as lucky enough, or?
I don't think so.
Well, I was not being a super fanboy. I was just being, you know, respectful and just, you know, I was talking to him, you know, just about the show and everything like that and just finding out some more of the technical aspects. But he is such a, he loved doing Beast Wars so much. Because it was just, you were back in the group, and he said he prefers like the group setting. And he is such a nice guy, just one-on-one in the shuttle van. And it just, he's such a, just a really nice guy.
He absolutely is. He is. He's an awesome dude. So, like, he's one of the guys. I don't know that this is an invite to send him a friend request on Facebook, but I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he's always pipe in the conversations that I'm having with other people. It's where I think most people like will accept a friend request and then hide the person. He is very conversant with people. He's just a great guy, and I'm actually going to go wish him happy birthday right now. He's a pretty awesome dude.
And speaking of Gary Chalk,
He was in X-Files, the most recent X-Files episode.
Oh. Yep. So it's nice to see that he's still out there and doing all sorts of roles and everything.
No word on if he was a Russian or not.
This message cannot be posted to his timeline. He probably got it blocked.
He blocked you.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Somebody dressed as Kicker and wished him happy birthday. That was probably when they stopped accepting happy birthday on his wall. Like, no, I'm not even joking. Somebody was literally dressed as Kicker and said, like, happy birthday on a sign. That's a little much.
Yeah. No, it's love.
It's love. That's love.
Sounds like internet love for sure.
Internet love. Episode
is sick.
455 of Radio Free Cybertron. Of course, all news items can be found at tfradio.net/455. Okay, so again, I took a nap, so I have no idea what's in the show notes because XV did them. So I am catching this blind. So we have new photos of Masterpiece Optimus Primal. He has alternate heads. Does he have a mutant head?
No, just alternate robot faces and beast faces.
Boo.
Maybe the mutant head will be like the Amazon Japan exclusive or something.
Or Dr. Wu's probably already crafting one now as we speak.
Mm. I like the angry face. That's on the monkey. That's really good. I might have to get two of these.
And I'm really glad we're getting the battle mask faceplate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there it is. Yeah, well, that's Prime.
Yeah, we'll see. This was the first Prime character with lips.
That's hot. I mean, it's debatable, I guess. I mean, Rodimus Prime had lips.
I mean the Optimus character.
Optimus had lips.
But this is the Optimus character.
Yeah.
Primal.
Sounds like a BuzzFeed article.
Oh, he's here to go. The next page with 5 new ads.
Yeah, he's smiling. He's smiling. But yeah, if Optimus didn't have a faceplate, he had lips.
Okay. Yeah,
wow. And, so nice. I can't wait. When do you think we'll get that? Maybe July or August?
Not soon enough.
That's a fair bet, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, now is it me or is the light up feature only like, is it like a lever that the eyes?
I think there's probably a button on the ridge across the head.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you push that, it lights the eyes up.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was actually a light up with battery power or if maybe there was just like the Cheetor color change eyes. you know, that you could switch between red and blue on the
no,
because
it doesn't look like garbage, Don.
I mean just that one, just that one feature. Maybe you could switch between the regular eyes and the red eyes or something with like a little switch or something.
No, because like if you think about how it looked in the show, there was the transparency to the eyes, but they were also lit up when they were awake. So I think that they did the battery powered light up thing to capture that more accurately. I mean, when you get down to it, they could have done the same thing with like good clear red plastic and light piping. Because when you get that, when you get just the right transparency of plastic, it will glow so beautifully in most any color. Like really, really dark blues and purples have trouble with that, but reds, ambers, yellows, they can all do really well. But again, that requires outside lighting. So the battery pack and have them glow when you hold a switch down, probably the best option for emulating the show appearance.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of accessories, at least unless I'm missing it in another thumbnail. Because so I was hoping we would get some other stuff like the shield and, you know, just a little something.
Yeah, none of that was shown. The only removable parts shown were the swords. Presumably the guns do retract down to the forearms and are not separate pieces. I think quite possibly the accessory count is being padded with the alternate faces.
Yeah.
And it could be too... You know, an exclusive retailer exclusive version could have something like the Riot Shield, or that's just something they don't feel like is important enough to include with the toy since it was only once or twice.
Yeah, and also that battery gimmick maybe eating up a lot of the cost that you could have some other pieces in there too.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. It's
possible. Okay, so Bloomberg reports where they confirmed the release dates for Transformers 5, 6. And a Bumblebee spinoff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
6 is the Bumblebee spinoff, isn't it?
Okay, so the various reports are not consistent about how the movies are being characterized, I guess I'll say. So, like, we definitely know there's Transformers 5 coming next year. And then after that is the Bumblebee movie. And then after that is another movie, which one source at least says is another standalone movie. So there may not be something actually called Transformers 6 or Transformers 7. It may just be, you know, Transformers Bumblebee, Transformers whatever the hell comes after Bumblebee.
Well, if Will Friedle does the voice in the movie, I'll go see it.
He won't.
Otherwise, I really won't care that much about unless they just do something.
I would say that the guy who's going to do Bumblebee's voice will probably be like Will Smith's son or something. So,
I think it's awesome that we're going to get a Transformers movie every year for the next 3 years. Yeah.
So, Matt, how do you feel about this?
Now, see, I'm trying to remain positive here, so I'm just going to be quiet in my little corner.
I'm going to say this. Each time a movie comes out, we get a bump in traffic and downloads. And so does T-Formers.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. And every time a movie comes out, the brand gets an infusion of another $1 billion. But at the same time, I'm perfectly free to not enjoy it.
So, like, I was trying to explain to a guy. I was helping a guy or talking to a guy last night about an article that he was writing about Transformers. And he asked me what my opinion of the movies are. I'm like, I don't personally like them. But they do bring in new fans. And I don't care whether you're a fan of G1, whether you're a fan of Armada, whether you're a fan of the movies. I just want, you know, to engage with new fans and get new listeners. So it's each new movie is an opportunity to bring new people into the fandom. And that's really awesome.
Well, this is the way that I'm looking
at it. I can't pre-order tickets yet. So
this is the way that I'm looking at it, to be positive. Movie number 5 will pay for Trypticon. Movie number 6 will pay for Omega Supreme. Movie number 6 will pay for Scorponok or reverse those last two.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Titan.
Basically, what Don is saying is that every time we get an infusion of movie ticket money into the brand, we can get more big, ridiculous things in the toy line.
Yeah,
that it's more aimed at us.
So yeah, if I have to go and pay my money to sit through a fifth and a sixth and a seventh movie. But I can get the following year more Titan Masters, more bigger figures, Masterpiece RC, you know, I'll do it.
And you know,
well, that's fine. Just, you guys go spend money. Like you guys go spend money on tickets. I'll reap the rewards of the toys. Thank you.
Yeah,
very
I was about to say. You know, I'd just like to point out, Don, you don't have to do any of that.
I know, but it's. Here's the thing. If I don't see it, I cannot justify criticizing it, because I'm one of those people that's like, all these people, like, they're complaining about the Ghostbusters reboot that's coming out soon. Instead of complaining about it before you see it and then make an informed decision.
I give each movie that comes out the benefit of the doubt. Like, I kind of liked the third one, that was Dark of the Moon, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of liked Dark of the Moon. If Age of Extinction hadn't featured, like, the statutory rape bit and a couple other things, I might have liked it better.
If they had put as much
okay,
time
and, into... and see, I don't need the context of having seen the movie to criticize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just in poor taste.
Oh, yes, I would say so. No, like, if I made the choice to not see Transformers 5, I would not sit around and criticize it because I haven't seen it. I would just not talk about it.
Well,
plus the one thing I am looking forward to with Transformers 5, though, and Rob may already know where I'm going with this, is apparently between me and Giga Beetle, we're going to take up a collection and force Rob to go see it at our expense just so he has to go see it when it comes out.
I'll pay into that. TFRU.net/Amazon.
I won't do that to you, Rob.
I said on Twitter that my pledge to everyone reading was that if I ever see that movie, that means someone has paid me to see it. And Giga Beetle said that sounded like a pretty good dollar to pain ratio. So,
yeah.
Well, it's just because if I don't see the movie, there's going to be a lot of discussion about it when it comes out, and it's discussion that I will want to join in, but. From an ethical standpoint, I can't really talk about it because I have not seen it.
You can always give an outsider's perspective on what
you're
hearing.
No, you can't. Not without seeing it.
And you know, the funny thing is, when I see those movies, I don't want to talk to anybody about it.
That makes sense. Okay, so let's jump ahead to the next item because I don't want to come off like that we hate the movies. We do. But we love the people.
Well, there are aspects of the movies we like and some that could use...
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair. Like,
anybody who wants to watch these movies is fine. They're not for me.
Yeah. You know, Dark of the Moon is better than Revenge of the Fallen, but that's not a difficult task anyway. Age of Extinction, if it felt like it was about a third of the length that it felt like it was and did not have some of those questionable writing and directorial choices, would have also been a pretty decent movie.
Okay, go ahead.
I like the movies. I can watch 1, 2, and 3 and just sit down and watch them and enjoy them. I had a hard time getting through 4 more than one time.
XV, so you updated the show notes. Are these items, didn't we talk about these last week, the next few?
The next one up, we only had the first two.
Okay, so the episode, season 2, episode 3, the title was announced, which is Metal Meltdown.
Mm-hmm. And that will air on March 5th.
At 6:30 a.m. Set your DVRs. So there's a new clip for Robots in the Sky, season 2, which I thought that we didn't talk about that. We talked about it during the weekend. That's on the New York Times website, or...
LA Times, I think.
LA Times, okay. That's up there if you want to watch it. Did anybody check it out? I never got around to it.
I watched it when it went up. It's, I mean, I'm not super compelled to watch it. I didn't watch the first season, but it's not a bad presentation for the second season. It shows a couple new characters off, one of which is apparently the Scorponok toy we saw at Toy Fair. As for the new Dinobots on the way, I didn't catch that part myself in the trailer.
Yeah,
the new Dinobot. The article is unclear. I have a feeling that there is not actually a new Dinobot character, but the person who wrote the article was not actually familiar with Transformers. I think I put that in the T-Formers article. I think the Dinobot they're referring to is just Grimlock, and they did not realize that Grimlock was a Dinobot. You know.
Yeah. But, or maybe Grimlock's getting his gold armor upgrade in the show.
It didn't appear so from what I saw in the clip, but it's entirely possible that it'll happen later.
Yeah. Okay. But we didn't talk about this new photo of Bruticus.
Oh, he's
no, because we were busy with other things over the weekend, and it came out after last week's show.
Oh, yeah. The news item posted on February 10th. So, okay,
I believe it was still after the show, okay, though. Okay.
So yeah. He is very nice looking, isn't he?
I really love this.
Now, I'll be honest, the color matching feet is kind of odd. But
if I had to pick one thing I did not like, yeah, that would be it.
Yeah, because they opted for that to match the way Bruticus looks in the show, where the feet are matched to the color of Swindle and Brawl.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's just, and I'm glad that Vortex isn't as black overall as he looks in some. Because, Rob, I think you said it depends on the photography. Because sometimes he looks black and sometimes he looks darker gray. So that's not near as bad as I was originally worried about.
Yeah, I'm thinking charcoal gray on the final toy.
The other good thing about that, too, is that this Vortex doesn't blend into Onslaught nearly to the same degree as the Hasbro one does with the chest plate.
Yeah.
Blastoff does, on the other hand, blend in with that chest plate.
But by the cartoon model, he's supposed to.
Yeah, because
That, I'm not saying it's a negative. I like that chest plate.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that chest plate looks better than what I think we got one of the earlier pictures, and it didn't have all the. It just had the Decepticon symbol on a flat piece of
plaid. Yeah, I think the first look we had at it, where it was all reduced down to grayscale.
Yeah, that. But this looks so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it still
the one thing I would kind of like to see, and I'm sure there will be some third party that does this, is I'd like to see more. If we're gonna have color matching feet, I would like to have more G1 style feet that kind of look like they're.
Oh yeah,
you know they're like just kind of clipped onto the front of the vehicles. As
if nothing else, you could probably get a similar effect with the non-transforming articulated feet.
Yeah,
which if he's still producing them by that time, there probably will be some match to these colors.
Now was none of the. Was Nonif the ones that did the Boosticus set, or was that somebody else?
I have no idea.
No.
I don't know.
Not do that.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay, guys, so let's real quick sort of do a run. Even though we did like 75 podcasts about it in a couple of videos this weekend, let's just do a quick rundown of all the stuff, because there are people waiting to hear it from this episode, of the stuff that we saw at Toy Fair.
Wheelie.
We saw a
Wheelie looks great.
Wheelie does look great.
Yeah.
I'm surprisingly excited for a Wheelie that's not a recolor of Reveal the Shield Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was such a great toy. And the last Legends figure we got was pretty good, too, relatively speaking. But yeah, Wheelie looks fantastic. He is a Titan I probably should pull up photos.
Wheelie is a Legends.
He's a Legend.
He has a space inside where a Titan Master can ride
him. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it sounded like you were saying he was one of the Titan
You weren't saying
toys.
It fast enough.
I was trying
you
to...
Saying it, you weren't saying it in the right order.
Because there's not links in the show notes, I'm having to pull it up at the scene. So.
Yes, but while I was describing it accurately, you could have been pulling it up instead of giving me a hard time.
Welcome to the magic...
Welcome
to the magic that is radio.
Yeah.
Welcome to the magic that's unplanned RFC.
Yes. but yeah, so he is a Titan Master and looks fantastic. Which story are these under?
But he's not a Titan.
Read everything
He's a Titan's Return toy that is a vehicle for a Titan Master.
He's a figure in the Titan Master's line. There.
No, Don, he's not.
He's a figure in the Titan's Return line.
Anyway, we also saw Blur.
Blur looks better than we thought that he would.
He looks better, but he still looks off. Like, he needs some serious deco help.
He needs some contrast.
Yes.
Which, again, I expressed this over the weekend at various points. I'm hoping there is contrast evident in person that is not representing well in photography, which is possible because digital colors are weird.
Yeah, here's weird.
And the lighting in that room, not the best.
Yeah.
He didn't look bad in person. There was nothing that like hit me in the face like, oh, there's something wrong. That was Victorion that was hitting me.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's weird though. I've seen pictures of the SXS overclocking, and
but that's not his real Transformer. That's a third party.
I know, but I'm just saying
we didn't see that at Toy Fair.
Yeah, we didn't see that at Toy Fair.
I'm getting to that. Give me a second. I've seen pictures that make it look like a transforming Smurf that's all blue.
Uh-huh.
And then I've seen pictures in better light. That you actually see the color contrasts a lot better.
Was it a Toy Fair?
No, but I'm explaining how the blues
But Don, Smurfs are half white.
No, that's just their pants.
And their hats.
Don't forget the hats, Don.
Except for Papa Smurf, then it's red.
Yeah. Awesome. So here's Blur, and I like it better than the initial photo that had been leaked. Quite a bit more.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that, are you?
Considering that photo was garbage, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was free.
And I kind of like Scourge a little better than I did.
Okay, so Scourge is one where I really want an aftermarket replacement head, because the very round Floro-Derry face that it has and the square boxy back of the head clashes horribly with each other. It needs to be one or the other. The 2010 generation Scourge kind of balances that better with a more rounded helmet shape and a little bit flatter face. This is trying to go to both extremes way too much.
So it's kind of funny, trying to pull up the photos. I was initially pulling up the one from the Platinum Edition set. And it's just funny that we have two Scourges coming out roughly at the same time. Or at least two Scourges that were shown at Toy Fair, which is just a odd thing to say.
Yep. And a sweep. Yeah.
And a sweep.
Actually, I think both those Scourge molds in there are supposed to be sweeps.
Are they?
I think.
Maybe.
No, one of them's got the beard.
But that's... Okay, so like, by the same token, like, it's Wreck-Gar and the Junkion, but that's so that you don't have two identical toys in the set, I think, is the logic there.
But I think one of the best figures we saw at Toy Fair was Mindwipe.
Yes.
Sure, Don, that works. Mindwipe.
Fortress Maximus looks great.
He's on the other page. Hold on. I gotta show it. I gotta show it.
No. I mean, Don's not wrong. Mindwipe does
look great, yeah.
Mindwipe looks really good. I'm impressed by how they engineered it.
Yes.
Those legs are neat.
Yeah, that's a really good call until we get the toy in hand and the legs won't lock together and it's terrible.
Yeah.
There's always that possibility, yes.
But, yeah, unfortunately so. But then there's glue, and you can just glue it into robot mode and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bat mode, I mean, it's a bat mode, so it can't be super complex. It looks a little simplistic, but, you know, I can live with that.
Okay, but, like, it looks a little simplistic, but you have to remember it has to accommodate the Titan Master inside, and from what they were saying, it hangs upside down in the bat mode, which is kind of neat thematically.
Yeah.
So you need that big stable space in the middle for that.
So
and then you get really big bat wings then because it unfolds from the legs. It's really cool.
So Matt mentioned Fortress Maximus, and we got our first real look at that. So he, I mean, it makes more sense now that he is really a retool of Metroplex. Basically, it was suggested that that's because Takara said to get the price down, just use some of the toolings from Metroplex. And
they went to some weird lengths to do it, too. I mean, they've turned pieces around backwards, and
I'm really
impressed.
Weird.
Yeah.
I am impressed.
And I want the Japanese version of that to come with a booklet that talks about the development project. Then we need somebody who can read Japanese to translate that for us so that we can find out like the whole process behind this.
Yeah. And he's a much better proportioned robot than Metroplex was.
Yes, thank you. Hey Mickey hates it.
Yeah, and just and
well,
just
Hey by, Mickey is wrong.
And just by the nature of the Fortress Maximus Deco, he actually has color definition and he doesn't look like he could vanish in a snow blind.
Yeah,
I really like Cerebros,
and he has the electronic transformation sound.
He does. So who was it? There's a thought that Chrome Dome was a retool of, was it Wild Rider? Dead end. He's not. But by that token, Chrome Dome, pardon me, not Chrome Dome, Cerebros actually looks like he's a, could be a retooling of another toy, and I'm trying to think of what it is that's built very much like this. He's not.
Cerebros?
Yeah.
Is it? So there's something about the shape of his arms. Is it actually? I mean, I guess it, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Actually, hold on for a second. Let me just grab him.
He's pretty close to G1 Cerebros.
Yeah, it's all the same engineering as G1 Cerebros. I think there's a few more joints in there. Yeah. But
Transforms. I mean,
something I didn't notice during the Twitter stream that I'm looking at now. They told us Cerebros transforms into a tower. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's the central tower, the command block, whatever you want to call it, these modes.
He's the top of that.
And I love the fact they're pulling the Rebirth faceplate for that Cerebros. That just really made me happy to get a little nod to Rebirth.
Yeah, I like the animated head sculpt. One thing
I like about using this headset is I can actually get up and look at stuff. Yes. It's not Cerebros that I'm thinking of. It's something else. I'm actually looking over my shelf to see if I can figure out what it is, and I can't.
Yeah. Well, the only other time we had a Cerebros head from Rebirth was in a third-party 2-pack, and that was about $50 to $60 for a pair of heads. Hmm. Yeah, we had that a couple of years ago, and it was just too expensive just to get that Rebirth-style head. It looked good, but it was in a 2-pack, and it was about $55-$60.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it, but there's something, I swear, in my mind that Cerebros is just really reminiscent of. That's not Cerebros.
I just want all these Titan Return figures in the store so I can go buy them right now.
Oh, me too.
Seeing them for so long, I feel like the weight is killing me.
And Chrome Dome has a body. That makes that one even better.
Let's see here. What else do we have on Wheelie? So, jumping real quick to Platinum Edition, what's funny, Don?
No, the Platinum Edition Scourge and Cyclonus just look so terribly horrible.
I liked them in person. I think they look nice, and they have clear plastic, which is a novelty for U.S. released figures.
Well, the clear plastic is exactly what the rest of us don't like about them.
The clear plastic is a novelty in the context of Combiner Wars, which didn't have any, but Titans Return has plenty of, so there goes the novelty.
Here's the Scourge or Sweep, whatever you want to describe him. Why are these on different pages, Chris?
If it's the press kit stuff, it orders it alphabetically by file name.
Could have changed file name.
I could have, but I was in a hurry.
I get it. I changed file name when I did the video. Here's the one that's got the retail. Oh, the interesting thing. So we thought that it was going to have the Transformers Collectors Club BotCon head, that the DevCon head, but it actually has a new tooling on that head.
Yes, a new tooled DevCon head.
Yeah, which is odd.
That's why
it looks really good, though.
Close in there as I could with the photos, because mm-hmm. I didn't think it looked like DevCon's head from what I could tell. Of course, I'm not totally familiar with DevCon.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping there's another use for this somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do like the colors on this platinum set on Cyclonus and Scourge and his sweep. I just wish it didn't have that clear plastic. Plastic's killing it for me.
Cyclonus seems kind of like the Battle in Space deco, but maybe like a more saturated purple color.
I like the color on this better than the Battle in Space set. The Battle in Space Cyclonus is not my favorite.
I just wish they had brought the lavender Cyclonus from the Hinkai version over so people could get that instead.
That isn't
you mean,
the,
you
that
mean,
one.
You mean this one, Don?
Hmm? Sorry.
Yeah, the one that Chris is holding up right now.
Yeah, I've got that one too. But yeah, I was hoping they would.
I don't have that one.
I'm
that
jealous.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, because I mean,
I really like that platinum set, but it's not something I'm just going to throw money at if I get it.
Good luck finding a Kmart because that's where it's at.
Oh, I have a Kmart right by my house. So.
Really?
Well, just wait till later this year when it probably goes out of business, and you may be able to get that fairly cheap.
So here's the Chrome Dome, which we, I think, mentioned but didn't show off. He looks very nice.
He does.
Doesn't make a half bad RC either.
No. And neither does Wheelie.
I guess I could Photoshop Wheelie into RC.
No, I'm not sure, but... That would be interesting.
I'm not sure if I can bring myself to cover up all that orange, though.
Aw. Your heart would hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and to mention that, Wheelie, they actually had in package.
Yeah,
Image a Wheelie, the Optimus Prime, the Power Master, if you would call it, and also Fortress Maximus was, they had a packaging.
Oh, right. I didn't notice that. That's cool.
They had Sentinel Prime in package too, didn't they?
Possibly. I think there was one more. I just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I think they had one represented from each size class in packaging. I think Sentinel was the Voyager they had.
So I'm trying to find the photo of Soundwave, but all I'm seeing is the art photo, so I'm not going to pull that up.
Yeah, if you want Soundwave, you're going to go searching back for when they did the full reveal of that in January.
Yeah, that's what I used when I pulled it down, but it was in a different file name. It took a little extra work. Let's see here. So, but I was going to mention the Platinum Edition, Bumblebee and Grimlock, which are the robots in disguise. And Grimlock is based on the Takara Grimlock, which is based on the Fall of Cybertron Grimlock, which...
This is getting complicated.
It's getting complicated, and it's going to be an Entertainment Earth exclusive.
Yeah, well, we know Entertainment Earth is carrying it. We don't know if it's going to be specifically exclusive to them or possibly, you know, an online retailer shared exclusive kind of thing.
So they...
The way Adam Paulus was talking on Twitter, it sounded like it was going to be specific to Entertainment Earth and that it was the first of a series of exclusives that were going to be theirs.
Yeah, I mean, that may very well be the case. We'll see.
So the thing is, of course, I already have this Grimlock. I like it. The paint apps on it are a little rough. But Takara had to do a new tooling to get this toy to make it. Yet that Fall of Cybertron based Megatron, Transmetal Megatron, never came out, and it was just like ready to go, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Sadness. Maybe eventually that might be a Platinum Edition toy. We can hope.
Yeah.
Is there a year of the Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I don't think
that's
so.
Not on the Chinese Zodiac.
I don't think so.
I can't remember if that was on the Chinese Zodiac or not. Okay. What is it? Power Surge Optimus, which is apparently it's a $50 price point toy,
mm-hmm.
Which Chris corrected me on this weekend.
Among many other things.
But I actually like the look of it.
Yeah, so do
me
I.
Too.
It's cool looking. I want a Thunderclash recolor.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would make me buy it. Absolutely.
It has a gimmick where you put the bird on its chest. And, like, all the guns pop out.
Oh, neat.
I mean, that's really the summary of America. Stick an eagle on a chest and guns pop out.
Yeah.
Very nice.
The most patriotic Transformer that has ever existed.
Well
there's
a lot of red, white, and blue on it, too.
I was just about to say, yeah.
And also the fact is that new Captain America shield has hidden guns inside.
We're not there yet. So, yes, we're going to talk about that. Thank you, Don, for mentioning it. I would have forgotten. We also got that Scorponok that we mentioned, but I'm not seeing it right here. Was there another? Oh, yeah, the Legend, or the not the Legend.
Warrior Class
Windblade, which is very red. I still want it, but...
I want it in a different deco.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Takara version of that's going to be pretty sweet, I'm thinking.
Or, you know, maybe like an exclusive version for some convention in the summer.
Yeah.
So, the real Ronin said there's Year of the Dragon, which is close enough for Platinum. That's a fantastic point.
For Year of the Dragon, they'll probably dig out Transmetal 2 Megatron.
No, actually, I probably wouldn't be fine with that.
No, I mean, it's not that great of a toy when you look back on it.
It was awesome when it was released.
I mean, it's awesome in one respect, but, like, It's not my favorite Megatron toy by far.
No, no.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, so there's that. Anything else from Toy Fair? I mean, there's a lot of other stuff as far as other toy lines go, but Transformers, that was basically it.
Yeah, I mean, Diecast could tell us again about the wood block model Triptychon they had at the presentation.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, basically it was a big, it almost looked like a, like soap. Like they took a really big thing of soap and they just carved out blocks and it looked like a Triptychon next to like a Metroplex to give you an idea of scale.
How did it scale?
He came up, Metroplex may be like a half a head taller than Triptychon. So it's going to be a good size.
That's cool.
But it was definitely it was just blocks. There was no detail, no anything.
Yeah.
And it that's actually the real Triptychon. They're making it out of soap and they're selling it as one of the licensed products. So you got a kid sitting in the bathtub with a giant Triptychon.
Oh my god, that would be awesome.
That was soap. That Triptychon would last you at least a year and a half.
So so I am looking to buy a new house. Diecast is too. I need like a really big, like a jacuzzi tub and a soapy Triptychon.
Yeah, hopefully it'll smell like Irish Spring or something.
Well, I would want Dial. It would have to be Dial.
Lemon Joy for me. No, now I forgot what I was gonna say because of all this bath talk. Damn it.
But yeah, okay. So there were things that weren't shown off. There was a Q&A and lots of questions were asked. So speculation time. So Diecast, questions were asked about Blastoff being a possible piece of the G2 Bruticus set. So
the better Blastoff.
Yeah, the better Blastoff, the Takara version. So what was said when that question was asked?
Well, we do have it on recording.
But I'm not going to play it.
I actually don't remember the exact wording on it. But no,
basically, it was what? No comment. Yeah. But talking about how the previous toys, was it Fire?
Quickslinger and...
Quickslinger and Breakneck.
Oh, Quickslinger, yeah, okay. Quickslinger and Breakneck were good for them.
Yeah.
They said they can't comment at this time, and you know they were a lot more forthcoming when people asked about other things that are not in development at all. There is not, for example, a figure of Nautica from More Than Meets the Eye in development at this time.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised by that. I mean, that just seemed...
But they know people are interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know people are interested. It's on the list of things they want to make. But you know. This team so far, when there's something is not in development at all, they seem to be willing to say that. And if something is even being kicked around, they will say no comment. So I would say that there's, you know, some chance of us getting that blast off in the G2 Bruticus.
Well, didn't they also make a point to say that Quickslinger and Breakneck did really well for them? And that, to me, sounds like they're leading to, like, saying without saying, you know, we like how that turned out. Maybe we're looking at doing that again with these, if we can get people on board with it.
The other thing I've ever heard them say, and someone's going to, you know, have a different example of them saying it did really well for us, was we asked about Metroplex, and they said it did really well for us. And they also said Devastator did really well for them.
Cool. So what else did they say no comment to? Was it you that asked about Overlord?
No.
Somebody asked about Overlord, apparently, I heard. And it was no comment.
It was no comment, but yeah, we know about Overlord.
Yeah.
Because, like, there is literally not a year that goes by or an event that goes by where one of the fan site representatives isn't like, so how about Overlord?
Mm-hmm. Computron came up, and they didn't acknowledge it as existing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brainstorm came up. They didn't acknowledge it as existing at all.
I actually got into a conversation accidentally talking about Remold, which I believe is when I was asking about the Fortress Maximus Remold, you know, if that was thought of when Metroplex was first being designed or if they went back to it and tried to use parts from it. And I was saying, you know, we're getting some really interesting remolds when Blur can turn into Brainstorm, or actually said Brainstorm can turn into Blur. He's like, I can't talk about that, or I can't comment on that. And I'm like, why? And then I found out that, you know, someone was
that's like, how that confusing Brainstorm- this has gotten.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, but, you know, he was like, he wanted to talk about it, but he's yeah. like, I can't.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Makes fair. Anything else? Let's see here. So there's a question. Anthony mentioned it. I haven't gone back and finished the whole thing. Did any question about FunPub come up?
They were asked if there was going to be a Transformers fan convention at in 2017, and they said that they could not comment on any plans for 2017 at this time.
Okay.
But that they were looking into all of their options.
Okay.
Yes.
it's interesting.
Like from what I took away from that, it sounded like there may not be a convention in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause one line that did come up was we can't commit to a time frame right now.
Gotcha.
Or wording to that effect. So they are committed to having fan convention by whatever means, but it at this point it may not be something that happens next year just because of timing.
So if you've never been to a BotCon and you really want to go,
hey, Louisville. I
might suggest this year.
So
throwing that out there.
So I did register last night. I went with a Primus package so I could get that box set of the Beast Wars combiner. My buddy Chris Triplett from other podcasts, he's coming with.
Triplett is definitely coming?
Triplett's a go.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, so
We've heard that before.
He's put money down
okay,
on this one.
Okay,
I think based on things this year, it's more likely to actually happen.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. My wife is actually going to this one. So I think she'll enjoy this more than TFCon. Like the last TFCon. Actually, we had a death. So the last TFCon was close enough where she could actually go home and attend to somebody, a family member that, like a death in the family. I think she'll enjoy Louisville. It seems like it's a pretty cool place. So, and we actually, a friend at work, he actually has stayed at that location, and he said it was pretty fantastic.
Good. Cool. Yeah. Glad to hear it. What kind of pool does it have?
You know, like,
these are important questions, you know.
Hopefully, like, it's indoor.
I was planning on not going until we found out that this was likely going to be the last BotCon. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a room. So I'm probably going to be staying across the street, and that hotel has a pretty good pool. So
good.
So I guess one way or another.
Yeah. But, you know, we at BotCon, we were not in the hotel venue or the BotCon venue. It was just across the street, and that worked out really well.
Oh, yeah, that was a really nice location for us.
But, again, like, I know there are a lot of complaints about getting to the BotCon 2016 location.
But once you were there, it was a pretty cool place.
That's my favorite BotCon location. But, again, even though it's, like, an hour from my house, the TFCon Charlotte location is probably my second favorite location for a convention ever. So we did that. So let's real quick jump to... Thank you, Amazon. We love you. We couldn't do this show without you guys for supporting us by doing your Amazon shopping through tfradio.net/Amazon. And it's just a super easy way to help us out. Go to tfradio.net/Amazon. You can buy whatever you normally buy, be it candy, be it
toilet paper,
diapers, any other thing you can poop on or remove poop with. You can get that through Amazon. It doesn't cost you a cent more, but Amazon sends us back some of that toilet paper money, and it's pretty cool.
What do you do with your candy?
Exactly. I know. Well, true.
Well, it depends what kind of candy it is. Like, if you get some fruit by the foot...
So, like, I want to mention a couple of things. So, Diecast found the... was it announced at Toy Fair that these were...
It was announced at Toy Fair.
So,
that it was put up the day of the Hasbro event, like an hour before.
So, there's this really awesome Iron Man helmet and Captain America shield that Hasbro is doing. They're, like cosplay quality. They're $100 each. The shield is got a 2-foot diameter.
And includes the shield.
And includes the shield. The description says includes the shield. And the helmet has a nice metallic sheen to it. You can take it off. Diecast is going to walk around the next Transformers convention next year, drinking with it, recreating the scene from Iron Man 2.
Eyes light up, right?
Do they
light up? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
The eyes, and I'm looking at the photo. The photo does not even do the paint justice on this thing.
Surprised. And the photos look great.
I hope they do a War Machine version.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah. They will.
Either that or they'll do Iron Patriot instead.
Oh, so, but you can
War Machine is way cooler.
Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, Iron Patriot's more colorful.
But you can go to tfradio.net/helmet, that's lowercase, or tfradio.net/shield, and it'll take you right to those if you want to check them out.
And it's going to come out September 1st. I'm assuming the pre-orders are going to sell out on this just because
probably.
And these,
for the quality and for being like one-to-one pieces, that's a very low price.
Yeah. And again, these are kind of hard to, there's a lot of people that sell like cosplay stuff on Amazon. So to find the official one, again, go to tfradio.net/helmet or tfradio.net/shield and just check them out. Look at them. They're pretty cool. And one thing also I wanted to mention, something I got on Amazon earlier this month was something I've been wanting for quite a while, which was the new Captain America Marvel Legends figure, which basically just has the Cap Wolf head. And it made my life. I could die now and I would be happy.
So at what point do we get a figure of Captain America that has a horse mask?
Did he have a horse mask?
He could.
Well, you know, there's an actual Mark Gruenwald story called Man and Wolf from, like, 1992, 91. That was one of the worst things ever. But it's one of my favorite childhood memories. So he fought Cable. He fought Wolverine. It's so awesome. So you can go to tfradio.net/capwolf, C-A-P-W-O-L-F, to check that out.
When Captain America throws his mighty shoe.
Was that from the 70s?
60s, yes. Yeah, the cartoon.
Oh.
Because every time someone mentions that, I keep picturing Captain America picking up Phil Coulson because he's throwing shield.
You know, like, parents name their kids nutty things. Something will happen, like a friend has named their kid after something in Frozen, and I'm like, why do that to your kid? But there's a kid at Taco Bell or something a couple weeks ago. His name was Coulson. His dad named him after frickin' Agent Coulson.
Not necessarily. I've heard that as a first name before Phil Coulson was a thing.
Okay, but my best guess, probably named him
after Phil. No, I'm just saying, like, that was an established-ish name prior to that, so it's not necessarily the case, but yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. But yeah, tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay, third-party news. We only have one item. Planet X, PX, Warrior... God, the names. New images, Fellow Cybertron, Optimus Prime, prototype. It doesn't look bad.
It's like Voyager scale, I think.
I don't need another one of these versions of this character, but... It sure looks
always,
okay.
I always like the design.
I like the War for Cybertron design better than this one.
But that's a terrible, terrible, terrible toy.
And this one is much easier to transform.
It has to be.
The War for Cybertron Prime is a perfectly fine robot or vehicle. It's just the transformation is overwrought, and that's what makes it not fun. But otherwise, it's a perfectly fine toy.
But thank goodness that was one of the first toys in the modern era where they started packaging them in robot mode. So you never had to transform it to vehicle mode.
Yes, although arguably that did make it harder since, like, it's easy to explode something into robot mode.
Yeah.
And then, like, remember aspects of that process to get back the other way. Compressing something down to vehicle mode for the first time can be kind of a problem with no direct frame of reference.
Speaking of that, though, I kind of wish that they would start going back to packaging stuff in vehicle mode.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they don't. Like, I think Transformers works better as an action figure line if you're buying an action figure.
Oh, don't disagree, but there's just something...
Think back to Robots in Disguise 2001. Remember Wedge? How tiny that looked on the card. If it had been packed in robot mode, it still would have looked a little bit small, but it, you know, it would have filled out the space more with the shoulder things and everything. Mm-hmm. And as we've gone into the modern age of more parts and material economy and just different engineering processes, the vehicle modes have gotten more compacted down, and if they were sold in vehicle mode, like, with robot mode, you get what I will call an illusion of mass value, which you would lose if they were packed in the really tiny vehicle mode. So I think there's a lot of elements to the choice.
It makes sense.
But I can't see them going back, and it's probably for the best.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One thing I like about this Fall Cybertron Prime is that they don't try to perfectly replicate the proportions of the head from the game renders, because it's like a really small face with a really big helmet. And I'm really happy they didn't go that far.
I like that they included Ultra Magnus's sword as part of the accessory loadout. Disappointed it doesn't disassemble into different pieces like that, like the official one does, because that was one of the most engaging features of that.
Yeah, well, I believe Prime actually uses that sword in the last stage of the game, so I think they kind of snuck it into the line via Magnus. So,
you know, I never actually played either game in that series.
If you're only going to play one, play Fall. It's a better game. The gameplay is more versatile.
And you get to be Bruticus.
And you get to be Bruticus.
I never finished War for Cybertron. I never started Fall, so.
I mean, I always assumed, just from the way people talk about War for Cybertron, was more a platform for online multiplayer than it was for its own gameplay.
You're basically correct. It has,
but it's a perfectly fun game in its own right.
Yes.
I'm sure it is, but it feels like the main push of that was the online aspect, and that maybe isn't the case. Did Fall Cybertron even have online multiplayer?
Yes, it does. I want to say the modes actually feel more separate than they do in War for Cybertron. They feel more like two different entities. Because, of course, they've done the multiplayer thing through both War for Cybertron and Dark of the Moon. It was a revised version of that. But Fall of Cybertron has a much more complete and, I want to say, self-sufficient single-player game than War for Cybertron did.
So, Devastation, of course, not a huge fan, but I think, I don't know that I mentioned this before, but the new Ninja Turtles game coming out from Platinum looks fantastic for all the reasons that I hated Devastation.
Mm. Do you want to decompress that for me a little bit?
So basically, Devastation doesn't play like a Transformers game would, because the gameplay style, it's full of these stupid little, not tasks, but going back to like fighting Megatron, where Bumblebee has to slam into Megatron so Optimus can shoot him, that's just dumb. But you know what? For Ninja Turtles, considering how Ninja Turtle games have played in the past, stupid stuff like that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And
I can see that.
Yeah, like where it's a fun game, it's just a bad Transformers game, it's going to be a phenomenal Ninja Turtles game.
Okay. So, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I might pick that up. This week on the network, Superhero Time, episode 263, no how do you say that?
Chris?
I got what I wanted to out of that. Because see, Monday night when I was writing the description for this episode, I picked that title specifically because I knew Killy would have to say it when we did RFC this week.
No. So Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, The Tholian Web. Thank you. I will check that out.
Yeah, you know what? We determined that's actually a pretty terrible episode.
It's not, yeah. But I love it because it's just so awful. Who was it they were saying? Was it Diecast or Don that was just going to be floating in and out of reality this past weekend? We're so tired from all that stuff we were doing, if we don't remember. But we had a Tholian Web joke going on for a while.
Kilby, remember the Tholian Web joke from like 2000, 2001?
The fun fic
on
that
ATT?
I did? The terrible trolley fanfic that I wrote? The Tholian Thong? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to mention it that specifically.
But... oh, yeah. Who cares now? Nobody. 20 years later, people don't care that I was an internet troll.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Yeah.
The RFC minicast, episode 45, John and Melvar review Skyrain. RFC Extra 22. That's where we went into quite a bit of detail in respect to all the Transformers news from Toy Fair 2016. Being awesome with Rob Springer 46. So this week in awesome Pretender Optimus Prime. Also a third party Beast Wars Neo Unicron. And we had the live stream from this past Saturday and Sunday. The live stream from Saturday is 5 hours long. So it was a lot of fun, though, and thanks to all of the guys who showed up, like Jeremy Dennis from Transmissions, Bobby Skullface, and Greg from Shattered Cast. Who else was there Saturday?
Timey. Philly,
Timey. Oh, Timey. Timey's awesome.
Timey was a hero.
Yeah. Again, McFeely was awesome. Chris Triplett was there. You guys did
Paladin.
Yeah, Paladin showed up toward the end. Yeah. Yeah. And on Sunday, Paladin was there. Timey was there. Don showed up too, but he was for you guys
for about 10 minutes.
For about ten minutes.
Yeah, I had to work because getting a weekend day off is like, you know, you got to sacrifice something to the sun gods or something.
Tricky was there on Sunday. It was a lot of fun, that's our favorite thing we do all year.
And we spent about 9-10 hours doing it all told.
Yeah, but funny enough, so Diecast obviously spent the most time of anybody, but putting it together and planning it is way more than 10 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have not been responding to email and stuff because I've been thinking through or working on stuff. It's really a project.
It's a major undertaking to organize that whole thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Thankfully, we have a few people working on it, but we love doing it. And our next live stream will be, San
Diego. From BotCon?
Well, I'm actually thinking about that. So I'm trying to go lean and mean with the hardware this year. I think I may not bring the mixer and all the mics. I may just bring my field recorder, which we can still do a live stream with. It's just probably going to be less space. I'm debating. So we'll definitely do a live stream either way.
You just put everything in our hotel room anyway.
Okay, yeah.
That's true. Well, good. I'm glad Matt's volunteering, you know, their hotel room so that me and Rob can have a cleaner space.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just going off past experience here.
Well, this is true.
And one of the good things about Toy Fair is we got a lot of retweets on Twitter. And if you aren't following us on Twitter, you should be at Surf Radio, because that's where all the photos go directly to.
And I was going in reposting some of the stuff to Facebook, and I'm certain when Diecast gets a chance to settle, he'll probably go in and post higher res versions, maybe fill in some gaps of stuff that we didn't have. He also recorded some videos, which will be really cool. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
First up, we've got a couple of articles by XV. First off, he's following up on his previous article about the size of a Titan Master. He, you know, previously estimated him to be about the size of Brainstorm 2014 Brainstorm's Headmaster Arcana. Turns out they are actually a little bit smaller.
Yeah,
because somebody actually brought Arcana along to the show and put them side by side.
OAFE's representative.
Thank you very much, because that was extremely helpful. He also did an article on Titans Return Chrome Dome, which, as we talked about during the show, is based on Dead End, but does not share any parts. Ben Yee from Ben's World of Transformers did his own article on this, and John Morden told him at the show that, yeah, Dead End was literally used as a development model by Takara Tomy when they were working on the Titan Master features for Titan's Return.
That's cool.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
And lastly, we've got there's been a picture revealed of a version of Masterpiece Trax with a toy-style faceplate, but nobody's really quite sure what that is yet. It may be an upcoming thing. It may be an abandoned feature that's never going to come out on any version. Nobody's quite sure yet.
There's still Diaclone colors to go.
Yeah. And so if anything, I would say that's where it would turn up.
That's the most likely bet.
And maybe U.S. release, Toys R Us.
I expect it'll have the stock face if it shows up there. But,
or, I don't know how swappable Trax's head is, but, I mean, that could be included as an option piece, too, for that matter.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the contact us portion, the mailbag, whatever we call it. We don't have a name for it. So last week we started off the show with a bit from pre-show where I had I was talking to Alexa about Domino's Pizza, and she ordered a dolphin. Funny enough, to our voicemail line, we got a call from Amazon, and let's go ahead and play that.
Hello, Mr. Kilby. This is Amazon.com. Customer support. We have your order of dolphins available to you to be shipped on Saturday, February 13th. To approve this order, please check your email and click approve. Thank you.
So that was pretty awesome. Thank you to Amazon for calling me and confirming that I did not confirm the order. So, definitely did not confirm that order.
Kilby, why do you have the RFC voicemail line as your Amazon contact phone number?
It's a good question. I don't know. It just happened to work out that way. and also, so contact this week feedback. I actually pulled this from YouTube because this is one that is very near and dear to me. And it's from Mike Honcho, who posed in Playgirl magazine, showed his butthole. That's from Talladega Nights. I love that movie. So,
oh.
you guys have watched that, right?
No, it's a Will Ferrell movie. I won't watch it.
Yes, I've watched it.
I love that. The movie is basically like my hometown, the movie. I love that movie so much. But so Mike Honcho was a pseudonym that, Ricky Bobby.
No, I don't really think that's that important.
Yeah, but it was a pseudonym from Kyle Naughton. Kyle Naughton Jr., yeah. He posed for Playboy magazine, and the name Mike Honcho showed his butthole. But Mike Honcho on YouTube said, RFC is consistently awesome. I probably should edit out the butthole part. RFC is consistently awesome. I never miss an episode, nor minicast. But do you guys like Transformers anymore? I'm getting the feeling that the show needs a dose of Rob Springer's positivity. Despite the dour mood over the amazing, in my opinion, products we got to see at Toy Fair, the recap was appreciated. Also, Don was right about the engineering on Mindwipe. The thing looks really cool. So, to Mike's point, so one thing that I've always tried to stress was sort of a positive tone on the show. I mean, too many times you listen to a podcast about something and people just whine and complain about what's going on. And I don't want to listen to a podcast where people aren't positive. And I've always, to the guys, tried to keep, you know, to tell them to keep things positive. When at all possible, they certainly have their opinions. I have my opinions. But generally speaking, I want to keep the show positive. But you're right. So, as of late, we have kind of gotten down on Combiner Wars a little bit. Justifiably so, probably. But we'll keep that in mind to, you know, appreciate what we have. Certainly comment on it and give our opinions. But I don't want to get overly negative. So, maybe if we focus on something negative, if we don't like Combiner Wars Hound, we can talk about how much we like Masterpiece Ironhide, which, if you notice, I did that early on in the show.
Well, so, I really like all the Titan Wars stuff. I'm going to buy it all.
Yeah. Well, so I think – go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
I think it's pretty obvious if you listen to this week's show, we're all pretty happy with what Titan's Return is looking like. We all like that stuff. And when – you know – the thing I have tried to do the last few years is I have tried to be as positive about things I like as I am negative about things I dislike.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes a stretch, but I feel like I've got to do both or I'm not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if there's any kind of dour mood over the podcast over the weekend, from what I saw, the little I was on plus the recap, I think it's just we were all kind of a little down that there wasn't like an Ultra Magnus level surprise this time, and we had seen so much of this stuff already through the leaks, and it kind of took some of the excitement out of it. I think that we weren't down over what we were seeing. We were down that we had basically already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think there's truth to that.
I think to the specific example here too, by the time we got to recording the recap episode, you know, that was like our 10th hour of being on Skype talking about this stuff over the course of that weekend. And our energy was pretty low. And I don't think, you know, like, we feel very positive toward the toys, but when you're at that point, it's also very easy to let the negativity of circumstances overtake you a little bit and color how that's being expressed.
Yeah, I mean, we were generally a skull face just said, I love that smile, Brian. Yeah. But yeah, like, I think we're pretty sour on the fact that the leaks ruined most of the stuff. And
it's been that way for a while.
And the thing is,
and I mean, I have to imagine Diecast must have some interesting feelings on this too, considering he took the time and expense to actually go there and see that stuff and report on it for us. And, you know,
yeah, I mean, if these leaks are going to happen and we're not going to have any surprises at these events, it's kind of not worth us covering.
Yeah, or not worth us going. I mean,
we're always going to sit here on Toy Fair weekend and stream and talk about the stuff, because it's as much a social thing for us to talk to each other about something that we're excited about. And make no mistake, if we were not positive and excited towards Transformers and lots of other things too, we wouldn't spend the time, you know, hours and hours over the course of a weekend to sit here and talk on a live stream about this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also a social event for us where we get to talk to people that we don't usually get to talk to and share that stuff with them too. So even if we're not covering it firsthand ourselves, I mean, the coverage, the stream is not probably going to go away unless for some reason we just can't get together for that weekend.
And I want to say this, and I want to just stop and leave it here. Like, when it comes to the leak stuff, though, like, were we happy about that? No. But realistically, world's changing. I mean, that's probably going to become the norm, honestly. So we kind of, either Hasbro will have to adjust or we will. So, you know, just we'll see how things work next year. Hopefully things will, you know, improve. So, but yeah, so Skullface said, sorry, I complain so much. It's okay. We forgive you. Yeah, that we had a fun time with Skullface over the weekend and over the week. But okay.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it's fun.
You can take the troll out of the news group, but you can't take the troll out of the troll.
That's me that you're talking about, right?
And me.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. But yeah, so we'll see how it works next year. So we'll see also how things work for BotCon, because I'm going to go to this BotCon because it's the last one and because I want to see you guys. But if this is the last BotCon, or if this is if this is the last BotCon, it'll be interesting to see what news is still news by the time we actually get there.
To point it out, we are all paying money to go to this show, and I would like to have some actual officially released news.
I just want to say in advance that
if I do not see any, if everything gets blown for me before my one and only BotCon, I reserve the right to be a little negative.
Yeah.
I would agree to that. Yeah, and to Melvar's point, even those of us who are not getting like Primus packages or anything, who are essentially going as walk-ins, we are still paying to travel there. We are paying to stay there. Yeah, you know, all of us are paying to some degree or another, even if we're not going in it for the toys and stuff.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. You can contact us at contact@tfradio.net. You can go to our website and click on the contact the RSC crew link. You can tweet at us. You can. We are now. I have always said that I don't look at the YouTube comments. And this week, I have absolutely proved that I do. If somebody brings it to my attention, I'm trying to do better about that. So I'm commenting on stuff that we see in YouTube. Maybe not all of it. I need to get better. But you can reach us that way. You can reach us on Twitter. You can reach us on Facebook. I need to really start just posting the content to the Facebook page and have people comment on it so that we can talk about it during the show. I'm really trying to get better about doing the fan interaction, because it's something I haven't been good at for the last couple of years. So I am personally on Twitter at bkilby. And you guys are at Melvar's Not on Twitter, Diecast.
I was at TF Radio all weekend.
He was at TF Radio all weekend.
I just want to say one last thing. I mean, because I was there, I wanted to cover as much of Toy Fair as I could. I was taking pictures of Monster High and Barbie. I have no interest in that stuff, but I figured maybe some of our listeners, and I know like Greg, one of our listeners, he has a little girl, and you know, she might be interested in that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to cover the event as much as I could, and the Hasbro event is where I really get excited.
Oh yeah, me too.
So,
and the Maddie Collector event is where you really get drunk.
Yeah.
Chris, why don't you just actually for once tell them what your Twitter ID is?
ChrisRTXV.
Thank you. Don?
I'm at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Rob?
RAC2750 and Flailthroughs.
And John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Of course. I'm listening and supporting you. I'm that John D on Twitter.
You're also going to be that John D on the Street Fighter V network.
I'm that John D everywhere I can be to make sure my branding is consistent.
Yes, and again, I'm B Kilby on Twitter, and you know, I got Street Fighter V. I only have John and Chris Triplett to play, so if you want to play me on Street Fighter V and you get it, B Kilby, BKILBY.
Yeah, I was going to say, that means I have to buy Street Fighter V, which... just said it's not that great of a game.
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a deep, complex fighting game, it'll probably get there. Yeah, but if you're looking for, like, a full featured, rich game with lots of characters and stuff, that's not it. But it will be eventually. It'll probably cost you $150 by the time you get there, but...
I think I'll just pull out the Super NES and put Turtle Tournament Fighters in.
Oh God, Don! Don't do that.
Hey, people still play that competitively.
Really?
Yeah, it's considered a decent game for what it is.
Okay, I'm gonna go play the Hyperstone Heist on my Sega Genesis.
I'm gonna go play Shaq Fu.
Oh God!
Well, I can beat that. I actually somewhere have Exo Squad on the Sega Genesis.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's nice. Terrible. Cool. It's terrible. I waited so long for that game because I was watching Exo Squad religiously. Oh my! It's the ET of the Sega Genesis.
Don. Do you have a working Genesis?
Actually, I've got a JVC Xi.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
A what?
A JVC Xi.
That is Genesis and Sega CD integrated, right?
So yeah. The Sega Genesis was a Motorola 68000 processor, I think, which was just an off-the-shelf part that anybody, and Skype just crashed on me, but it was a Motorola 68000 part that anybody could actually build or code for, and JVC produced a generic Sega Genesis Sega CD. And because Skype crashed and the guys are no longer here, I am going to say goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?